Good morning, everyone.
A lot of excitement up in the choir this morning with Anna back with us this morning, so it's great to see Anna here today. Starting today and for the month of June, we're going to bring back the Village Mass, which is our very own piece of service music composed by Peter Clements many years ago. And I know some of you like to read the notation, so we do have copies. Oh, it's okay, Bet. I'm not saying anything important. Here, I'll just give you one. So if you would like a copy of the notation for the service music, they will always be at the front of the pews here. If you really like it and want to sing it through the week, feel free to take one home. But if you'd like to join in and read the notation for the next four Sundays or so, they'll be right here. So this will be a full service request here. So does anybody like the notation for the service music here? Look at that. We have a few. Keep your hands up. I'll put the microphone down and we'll get that out to you.
I'm
bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Please be seated for a few announcements. The first announcement that I have is I finally have a conclusion to the story of my wife's car getting smashed by a tree. The conclusion is we've got the car back. 6 weeks. It was awesome. Okay, that is the end of that story, or I'll break down and start crying. Next announcement is that we are moving to our summer service schedule, which means next week's service will be at 10 o'clock. And if there are any who absolutely love the Book of Common Prayer and the traditional language service, that will continue throughout the summer at 10 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. We are invited to be part of the gathering on the green that's happening here in Wortley Village on Saturday, the 1st. St. James has a table, booth, something cool in the children's area. And if you've got some free time, I know we would love having some volunteers. So if you could either contact Victoria or Laura Manius, who's out doing something with the kids, or Jennifer. A wave? We've got a wave over there. That would be absolutely great. I know that I'll try to be there for as much of the day as I can, but if you can spare some time and help out, it would be greatly appreciated. Next, our next parish games night is happening on Friday at 7 p.m. So if you are in need of a game of crib or of some other new and exciting board game, please come out. It's a great time for friendship and fellowship. And every time we've hosted that, we've had members from the community, newer members to the parish, people getting together and just getting to know each other a little bit better. And it's been a fun time. So please come to that. And if that is not enough, there is yet another thing for you to do if you'd like. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, members of the choir, myself and Steve, will be holding a Holden evening prayer here at St. James. So 4 o'clock, Holden evening prayer. It's a lovely service, and you are invited to that as well. I think that is all of my announcements. So with that, would the congregation please stand? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we say together, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open,
all desires are known, and from you the spirits are given. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily united with the Holy Name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And let us pray. Father, we praise you. Through your word and Holy Spirit, you created all things. You reveal your salvation in all the world by sending to us Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us a share in your life and love. Fill us with the vision of your glory, that we may always serve and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on these thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is a feast day in the church. It's the celebration of the Holy Trinity, or known as Trinity Sunday. In clerical circles, it's the Sunday of who can I get to preach, because I don't want to do this one. And here at St. James, it's also the Sunday of there are six clergy sitting in the middle of the parish taking notes on what I'm going to say today. So they actually pulled out notebooks. Oh, yay. It gets worse. At our Wednesday morning service, where I like to throw out ideas and practice my sermon before I give it on Sunday, our discussion ended when I sort of wrapped up the conversation and said, okay, so what out of this conversation should we pray for? And one of the members in the group on Wednesday looked at me and said, we should pray for you. So I appreciate that. Trinity Sunday is a day when clergy love to listen to other clergy preach and figure out what heresies they're committing. Because the fact of the matter is, this is a really hard Sunday to get right. And I feel like I'm in good company with Nicodemus, who we heard in our gospel reading today, who didn't quite get it. When was talking with Jesus, you're saying these things, but how can this be? I don't understand what you're saying. And Jesus says, only the one who is from the heavens, who has descended, can talk about them. And so, in a sense, a lot of the doctrine of the Trinity is about our trust in God, our trust in God's revelation. God shows us each individual things that are meaningful for our lives, that show us individual ways of living and reveals truth to us. But God also reveals truth to the whole church through the words of Scripture. And in the wisdom of Holy Church, it's our time today to take out the doctrine of the Trinity and to wrestle with it, to wonder what it might mean. Now, many of us know the basic principle of the Trinity, three persons and one God. But really, how much does that affect our daily life? How much is it something that we consider on a daily basis? Now, if we ever get in conversations with our Jewish brothers and sisters or our Muslim brothers and sisters, the Trinity is a really big stumbling block. It's one that we can't seem to get around. And yet, as Christians, we hold the Trinity to be something true. About 10 years ago, a video came out that I love and I watch every time of year this comes around. It's called St. Patrick's Bad Analogies. It's done by a group called Lutheran Satire, because you gotta love the Lutherans. It's a picture of St. Patrick and two little Irish potato farmers. It's all cartoons, and the two Irish guys go, "Oh, Patrick, explain to us this Trinity thing. But remember that we're simple folk, so make it clear to us." And then Patrick would say something like, "Well, the Trinity is like a triangle. It has three points, but it's all one." And then the Irish potato farmers, simple people, would go, "Oh, Patrick, that's partialism. That's a heresy confessed by some ancient person that says that three persons of the Trinity are part of God and not God in its totality." And then Patrick gets a little flustered, so he tries something else. And he says, "Well, it's like how a person can be a husband and a father and an employer." And then the potato farmers shake their head and go, "No, that's modalism. That's saying that each individual part of God has a function and isn't actually totally God in of itself." It's a hilarious video. If I can get permission, I'll link the church's Facebook page to it, because it's well worth a watch. But it comes down to this. It's really, really hard to talk about the Trinity. It's really hard to get it right, and we risk running in and saying the wrong things. But I think that it's kind of okay to reach out and to try our best and to not always make it. There's something gracious about Jesus' response to Nicodemus, where he says, if you can't understand the earthly things, how are you to understand the heavenly things? Trust. Trust in God. Trust in me that I am revealing them to you in a special way. As part of our church services, every Sunday we recite one of the creeds, either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. And these are the foundations. They're the skeletons of what we build our faith on. They are a true distillation of the essences of the Christian faith. But not counting the clergy, how many of you know that there's a third creed that we never use? Oh, we got Bet's hand up. Well done, Bet. Gold star for you. There is a third creed that we don't use very often, and yet it expands and expounds the mystery of the Trinity in a truly beautiful way. It's complicated, it's a little wordy, and it's confusing, but it invites us to realize that there is more to God than what we expect. There is more to God than we can nicely fit in a box and feel good about. That God is beyond, God is other, and yet God loves us. And so with the help of Rebecca, our fantastic administrative assistant, I've included the Trinitarian portion of the Athanasian Creed in the slides for this Sunday. So I would like to invite the congregation to respond with me with the italicized words as we do this creed that we think comes from around the 400s. Now, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tongue-tie-y. It's going to be confusing. But that's okay. It's the invitation to recognize that God sometimes doesn't make sense, and yet God loves us all the same. So my friends, my parishioners, the Catholic faith is this, and that's Catholic is the universal, not just Roman Catholic. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
Father uncreated, Son uncreated, and Holy Ghost uncreated.
The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. Yet, there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Also, there are not three incomprehensibles, or three uncreated, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible.
So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord. And yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be both God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say that there be three gods or three Lords. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. So that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved must think thus on the Trinity. After we did this at the 8:30 service, somebody said to me, "Where did you dig out that old chestnut?" Which is absolutely fair. It's absolutely fair. But what is also fair is that our faith is deep and rich and invites us to think beyond ourselves, to step outside of the ordinary and the normal, and to recognize that in the midst of our worship today, something very simple is coming into this place. We enter into the presence of the incomprehensible, the vast, the majestic, and the infinitely beyond us. Trinity Sunday is a day where we recognize that we don't have all the answers. We don't have it all checked out and have God nicely in a box. And yet somehow, despite our best efforts, God loves us, God reaches out to us, and God invites us to be a link in a chain that reaches back to the beginning of creation and that will reach on until God's kingdom comes in glory. We don't have to have it all figured out, but we are still invited to be a part of it. And thanks be to God that God has opened to us this possibility. Amen. So let's stand and let's say together a creed that we actually know and are comfortable with. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth rejoice. Holy Lord, the earth is filled with your glory. Purify our hearts and lives that we may hear your voice and call. Send your church to declare the mystery of your love. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let the whole earth rejoice.
Holy Lord, Nicodemus came by night seeking illumination and understanding. Shine your light on the path of world leaders. Give your people the blessing of peace. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let the whole earth rejoice.
Holy Lord, your being is complete, and yet you create us to share your life. Expand our horizons to welcome strangers and friends. Strengthen the bonds of our community. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let the whole earth rejoice.
Holy Lord, you bring healing and reconciliation. Restore us in your image. Give rest to the weary and hope to all who despair. Today we pray especially for Anna, Robert, Catherine, Joan, Helen, Stavros, Eunice, Ashley, Colleen, Ray, Brian, Trent, Sylvia, Gavin, Sean, Taylor, Dawn, Nancy, Gail, Maria, Earl, Caitlin, and Dawn. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let the whole earth rejoice.
Holy Lord, your will is to save, not condemn. Look in mercy on all who have died. Bring us to share the life of your eternity. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let the whole earth rejoice.
Will the congregation please stand? After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. Living God, receive all that we offer you this day, and grant that hearing your word and responding to your spirit, we may share in your divine life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise, because in the mystery you disclose to us, you reveal your glory as the glory of your Son and the Holy Spirit, three persons equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, yet one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your everlasting glory. Therefore, with all the company of heaven, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection,
offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Lord, we died with you on the cross.
Now we are raised to new life.
We were buried in your tomb.
Now we share in your resurrection.
Live in us, that we may live in you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, may we who have received this Eucharist worship you in all we do and proclaim the glory of your majesty. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Please stand. And we say together, glory to God, whose power and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.